Part 2.
Picture a map to lost treasure. But there's a bit of that map missing.
Oh.
But luckily, it's not an important bit. It's bottom left. You can still see where the treasure is.
It's just the key. It's just the key, which is sort of universal. It's got the same sign for a church with the spires as any other map.
Well, that's what you think, Mike. Wait until you find the extra bit of the map, and turns out that the churches in the local leisure centre logos have been swapped round.
What?
And that's why you turned up in your swimming trunks at the church, isn't it?
Oh.
Well, we've got that lost bit of the map, the chat map, and we're slotting it back in so you get the full picture of Chatvania.
I like it.
Mm.
We're using the word chat and banter a lot, aren't we? But I suppose there's no point trying to run away from the truth, is there?
I think the patrons can handle it. We're dealing with these guys are pretty bulletproof. They've come in for more. They can hack it. These guys are battle tested.
But I sort of don't understand what your problem is, Henry, because that's what we do.
What, chat and banter?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Ben. It's more than that. Isn't it? Please.
How would you describe it?
A kind of...
You call it Melvin bragging, don't you?
I call it Melvin bragging. For me, it's aural ballet.
I love a map. I love a map, and I love a movie that starts with a picture of a map.
Oh, yeah.
What about a book with a map at the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
I tell you what, they are good. It's good to have a book with a map at the beginning, but I very seldom go back and actually check it. Do you?
No, I never go back.
No, I think I do, but not until the very end, normally.
Hoping to catch the author out? So that you can whack off a furious letter.
I just want to know exactly where the woods of despair are in relation to the peaks of Flandor.
I mean, metaphorically, obviously, we all know where the woods of despair are, but...
They're outside Bracknell.
That's right.
By the A303.
Yeah, just near the big red storage company, isn't it? It's between them and the Screwfix. That's how you access them.
It's more of a copse of despair these days, isn't it?
It's more of a copse of despair, yeah.
Yes, the woods has got, the forest has got smaller. The despair, if anything, has got much worse.
Yeah, it's denser.
It's got more compressors, it's got more intense.
Yeah.
And obviously there's less wheeling ravens than there used to be.
and more discarded pornography.
Yeah.
It's never truly discarded, Mike. It's just recycled into the ecosystem. When I was in I used to go to Sunday school, go to church, and then there'd be a Sunday school bit. And, Sunday school is, a bit tedious normally. And they had these Bibles, and the edition of the Bible that we had in our church had lots of maps in it.
Really?
Yeah. So I would spend a lot of time looking at the map of Judea.
Yeah.
And basically, I am a Middle East maps expert off the back of many Sunday mornings spent looking at those. Damascus.
Yeah.
All that kind of business. It's all in there.
You know your Qais from your Bethlehems.
Exactly. Yeah.
Golgotha?
Golgotha. Is that a hill?
Is that the hill where the crucifixion...
Jesus was betrayed.
It's amazing. If you've ever been to visit Jerusalem...
No, I'd love to go there.
No,
have you been?
Never been.
It's quite cool. Yeah, I have been. It's quite cool because you get to walk around these trail of things where it's like, and this is the corner, this is where Jesus was betrayed. And you're literally standing there and it's now just like, a Starbucks there or whatever. It's like, this is where Jesus was betrayed.
And when they say that to you, do you think, bollocks? Or do you think, no, maybe it was here?
We may just think that's about get a coffee. It's a good place to get a coffee.
Come to Starbucks where you won't be betrayed on price. Great coffee, great prices.
Unending loyalty.
What's that? Blood shooting out of your wrists? No, it's not. It's free raspberry sauce with all of our frappuccinos between 2 and 4 p.m.
Where else do you go then? What else can you see down there?
Yeah, well, you wander around up and down hills, and it's just like, this is the actual place where Jesus, bought a scratch card, that kind of thing.
Do they have the bit where the stone was rolled away from the tomb?
I think they probably do.
Oh, I'd like to go there.
You feel the spirituality in the bricks. You don't really. I'm just saying that. But there's very good falafels. you get some really, really mean falafels out there. No, it's quite cool though, because it's like a sort of, you're like walking around a sort of history lesson. It's actually quite cool.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like the Romans came in here and you put it all together in your head, like the house of the Romans. I spent quite a lot of my time on that holiday just going, hang on a minute. So the Romans, they swept into Jerusalem under Nero. So they took over the temple, which was previously a Jewish temple. They knocked it down. Various people built lots of temples on top of each other. It's a kind of temple lasagna, essentially.
With a bechamel of blood.
And just great bechamel. It was a mixture of the two. There's a kind of like, because a lot of the major religions,
famously, it's a bit of a pinch point, isn't it?
Mm. Yes, I think I've read about that somewhere.
It really is. But, you walk into a Starbucks, the caramel waffles are exactly the same as the caramel waffles anywhere on Earth. So,
and that's what's truly amazing.
Is that the real miracle?
And did you see people from all, faiths eating those caramel waffles?
I did, together, breaking waffle together. It's quite hard to break one of those caramel waffles because they've got a very, 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 very chewy texture indeed. In fact, they shouldn't break. They should bend. And maybe that's what we should all do a bit more.
Mm. I'm glad that we managed to sort of, we managed to talk about the Middle East, and I think we've come out of it okay. I was a little bit worried,
It felt like a dangerous.
It's a classic pitfall.
Few other light entertainment podcasts of dead tread. I don't know. We've necessarily come out of smelling of roses, but we've.
Now, I'll tell you one thing: you do realize when you visit Jerusalem is the Romans were absolute, bloody hell.
Yeah,
they were
pushy.
Pushy, they really were. You can go in the Black Sea and float.
Dead Sea.
Have you neither of you been there?
Red Sea, is it?
Dead Sea.
Not the Red Sea.
Sorry, the Dead Sea.
Dead Sea.
You can go in the Dead Sea and float.
I floated in the Dead Sea from Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. It's the nearest a human being can get to feeling like a crouton. Isn't it? That's what they say. You feel like, you're floating around on the top of a...
slightly oversalted French onion soup.
Yeah. I've had a sort of ambition in my life, a dream to one day have a map that I've framed, put on a wall.
Oh yeah,
I've never had quite the confidence to actually do it.
And you're thinking, so it's quite often an old map you'll get. So someone will have like a sort of 1500s map of Pembrokeshire on their wall. That's a big one in Wales.
Is it? Yeah.
Is there a location you've got in mind? Ottoman Empire.
That's quite good. Sometimes I actually think, there are so many bits of the world I get so confused about. It'd be quite good to have it as a sort of aide memoir. Maybe for like the Middle East, I've thought, or Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Middle East, actually, that area is one where it's so, I just have no idea how it fits together at all. So I feel like it'd be sort of like revision, to sort of look at it every day.
So you want a really plain sort of kind of GCSE school atlas type picture.
Yeah.
Lots of nice, bright, clear colours.
Yeah.
Syria in yellow. Jordan
That's
in
what
pink.
You want.
Israel in green.
Yeah, the old political map.
Lebanon in purple, just so you know exactly where you are.
Yeah. I always found that so hard to remember, though, because we had to sort of learn that a bit. Did you ever have to do that? We had to learn maps a bit at school?
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
I remember thinking it's so hard to learn all the countries in Europe, for example. It's so hard to remember all these, because you'd get like the blank page. You get the map without the words filled in, without the names, and have to fill it in. It was so hard remembering just Europe. And then one day we had a lesson where it was like, now it's Britain. And it's like all these counties.
No.
And it's like, there's more counties than there are bloody countries. Screw this. I'm out. I was like, at this point, no, I'm not doing this. I am not learning the counties. Are you mad?
Aren't there like 600 counties in the UK?
There's so many counties.
Clackmannanshire.
This isn't going to happen.
East Riding of Left Lincolnshire.
And how can there be more counties than there are countries? It doesn't seem to make any sense. I wasn't having that. And to this day, I'm quite proud of how poor my knowledge of counties is. I've got terrible knowledge. Have you got good county knowledge?
It's patchy.
I think in my local area, I think I could sort of do Wales and the South West pretty well.
Yeah.
Once I get north of kind of Birmingham, it's all up for grabs.
Yeah, I've got to admit, Scotland is going to get messy with me quite quickly, to be completely honest.
I'm just going to say Clackmannanshire for each one.
Perthshire.
Dumfries.
Galloway's?
And Galloway. Fife. Aberdeenshire. Mm. Lanarkshire.
Oh, well done. Are you online?
No.
Lothian? Lothian and
Lothian.
Borders?
West Lothian.
Hi. We're listing counties.
Well, not strictly sure exactly where they are.
What would you say was the point when Three Bean Salad went off the boil? Well, there was this episode where they just started naming counties.
Was it the county listing? It was the county listing. Of course it was. Everyone knows it was the county listing. That's not even, why are you even asking the question?
But the people who stick with the podcast post county listings,
yeah,
they're the hardcore, they're the good people.
Yeah, they would go into battle with us, for us.
Especially if we were about to attack maybe Bedfordshire, Somerset,
Lincolnshire,
Warwickshire.
By the way, a good way of testing if something is a county is if you say the word sausage after it and it sounds right. Mm. So, for example, Bedfordshire sausage sounds right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lineker sausage also sounds right, actually. But it's less clear what it means.
The other thing about that is you can put the word Glasgow in front of any noun, and it sounds really sinister.
Yeah, a Glasgow budgie. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Sounds awful. Like a...
That's someone hacking your cock off.
Yeah.
Glasgow teacup.
That's someone hacking your cock off as well. But just with a bit more pace. That's a pacier. That's getting it done in a hurry.
Glasgow trout.
That's being, well, sort of filleted, head cut off and...
Rolled in breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Glasgow massage.
That's getting your head twisted off.
Glasgow trampolining competition.
That's when sort of various local hard men take it in turns to jump up and down on your expiring body.
Yeah.
I like Glasgow immensely. I'm just saying that.
Me too. I used to live there.
You did, yeah. It's a lot of fun, is Glasgow.
Excellent place.
We like it and we know where it is, but we're not necessarily completely sure what county it might be in.
Oh, good point. Good point.
I tell you what, I have county stress about London. Which is London a county? Or what is it?
The old Greater London.
What is it? Is Greater London a county?
What is Middlesex?
Yeah, God.
Well, Middlesex is like a historical county that no longer exists in a formal way, I think. It only exists in the minds and hearts of those of Middlesex, and also it's a cricket club.
And a hospital.
That's it.
It is a hospital, yeah.
And then there's the old counties of Wessex, Mercia.
The kingdoms, no less.
Yes. Northumberland.
Croydonia-ism, Sloughmania, ism, yeah.
Swindon Oblast,
the only Soviet enclave that still exists within the UK.
Near where I live. There is a place where London Underground stores a lot of old, like, signs and map signs and arrow signs and sort of, yes, signage. I'm going to say signage.
Okay.
And I haven't visited it, but I've felt a pull to visit it because it maps to me this kind of... sort of like, what is it, municipal sort of diagrammatic art. It's the kind of thing I could get really into, actually, but I'm holding back a bit. I haven't visited it. I've wanted to visit it. I'm interested, basically.
Maybe you found your hobby.
Basically, I do quite like the London Underground map, and I'm not unpassionate about it, but it's something that I've kind of hidden from myself a bit because... I once saw a documentary about London Underground and the font, and I was absolutely riveted, and I never told anyone. But I absolutely loved it because and it's the story of how the London Underground map was designed and how the logo. Did you know the logo?
The roundel.
Is that what it's called?
I think it's called a roundel. Yeah.
The roundel or a roundel?
It is a roundel.
A roundel. Is it?
It is a roundel.
An example of a roundel.
It is the good example of a roundel.
And a roundel is what?
Well, it's a roundel.
As I understood it...
What I don't know, Henry, is whether there are other roundels or whether the TFL logo is the only roundel.
Okay.
Someone could write in and tell us.
Can I say, Ben, every time you say the word roundel, it hurts me a bit because, A, it undermines what I was saying a minute ago, which is I'm quite passionate about the London Underground.
And you watched a documentary about it where they must have mentioned the fact that it's called the Roundel.
Your apparent new expertise.
Yep. It's been beheaded seconds after leaving the egg, this expertise. I thought I'd found something I could get passionate about, my friends would get behind. I had the guts to put myself out there, to peck my way out of the internal egg of what had been a dark but cozy space of not telling people about this new passion. I'd been in a dark, cozy, egg-like space. I pecked my way out, thinking I was amongst friends. Instead, an eagle with Ben's face.
With crunching on your barely hardened bones.
And spitting them out in the shape of a roundel.
Please stop saying roundel, because I can't get my head around it as a word. I've got no idea how you would spell such a word. Roundel. It doesn't feel right, that word.
R-O-U-N-D-E-L. I'm now on a website that says, design a roundel. Arts and crafts for entertaining little ones. Adults are welcome too. Keep creative and connected with the network. Design your own roundel.
Yeah, my lot make roundels all the time.
Oh, God, don't. Why? Why does it sound a bit like Holdall? That's the thing that's freaking me out about it. Roundel, Holdall, scoundrel. I really feel like there's two eagles now in the nest and they're just sort of staring at me.
You're not even alive anymore, Henry. You're in bits. There's feathers everywhere.
Yeah, so I got quite interested in...
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like you're ready yet, frankly. No.
what you want, Henry, is maybe at your next birthday, me and Mike could club together and get you a custom-made London Tube map, but instead of the places on the map, it's things we love about Henry.
Oh. Hey?
There's a lot of stations, Ben.
So instead of, you know, we're getting on at Loyal Friend and getting off at Semi-Decent Cartoonist.
You bastard! Well, we'll change on to the Henry's Pretty Good Dressings line.
Dressings?
Salad dressings. Henry makes...
Oh, I think it meant like surgical dressings.
No, that's the map we'll do for Mike the year after.
We'll change at Pretty Good Dressings, but errs on the side of quite vinegary.
Ooh. So, well, that's stopping at very good French vinaigrette, just the right amount of mustard. Also stopping at vinaigrette with no mustard. Then going on to vinaigrette where no mustard plus lemon juice instead of vinegar. I've just realised I've only got three stops on this line. It's not as long as I thought it was going to be.
Right. We use the Waterloo and City line or something like that for that one.
Oh, that's it. It's the one where... Okay, here are some things that people say about the London Tube map that are quite good conversation points. One is, it's very good. Another is... it's so simple. Another is, it was designed longer ago than you think because it seems quite modern. Yeah? And he's hitting home?
Can I say that? I've heard people saying about, the London Tube map, it's such a triumph of simplicity. And
that's it. It's a triumph of... That's the one, yeah.
But every tube map on Earth looks like that.
No, it doesn't. The genius of the London Tube map is that it doesn't represent where things actually are. You think Cockfosters is in the north of London? Are you mad? Could be anywhere. The map is just you know what I mean? It's abstracted from reality.
Yes, which is much like how you feel when you go into the tube network.
Exactly.
You are disconnected from the geography of London.
Yeah, you've become part of just a sort of design concept. The circle line isn't a circle. It's probably just a sort of knobbly rhombus or something in real life. You know what I mean? None of the places actually represent where they really are.
Yeah.
Whereas when you get tube maps that try and do that, like in Paris or New York, they become really confusing because...
It does mean sometimes people try and get the tube from Covent Garden to Holborn, which they could walk in about 40 seconds.
Yes.
So it's not without its pitfalls, Henry.
True. Covent Garden to Leicester Square, by the way, is the shortest stop. And I always hold my breath between those two stops to emphasise the point to myself of how... short the distances between those two.
And were there delays on the line, would you...
I would perish. I would perish.
And a noble death it would be.
I'd perish for my passion. But yeah, no, I got quite excited about the... Well, I know you're saying it's a roundel, but...
I'm not saying it's a roundel. It is a roundel.
Did you know how they came up with... Where it originated, that shape?
The roundel?
Ben's just said there's a website where you can make your own roundel.
Is that where they made it? Is that where they started?
Sounds like it, yeah.
No, but it wasn't it based on an arrow? It was like an arrow that was like, you know, like loosed from a bow or whatever.
Do you mean British Rail?
No.
It doesn't look at all like an arrow.
No, it doesn't, but it's kind of evolved from a design perspective. It was eventually, initially it was an arrow pointing at a sort of circle, and then it kind of gradually evolved into that. And the fonts have evolved.
Can I tell you some other organisations that make use of roundels in their branding?
Yes, please.
BMW.
Mm. Is that a roundel?
Nissan?
Oh.
Nissan. Yeah, that is a roundel.
Pringles?
No, that's a man with a moustache.
Sorry, my mistake.
You're really not ready for, to take
You
this
really can't grasp all. What a roundel is, can you?
I'm not comfortable with
if you
it.
Go is to it some sort of tube map convention, you're going to be torn to pieces.
Is it like a circle with a rectangle going across it? Is that a roundel?
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
It's a horrible word, isn't it?
I've just Wikipedia'd it. A roundel is a circular disc used as a symbol, often used on military aircraft.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Should we commission an official three-bean salad roundel?
That's not a bad shout.
Why don't you ever go? Why don't you ever go to a roundel, Henry?
I could make my own roundel.
Yeah. And if you're happy, maybe you could share it with the listeners.
Maybe that's a way that I can conquer, sort of conquer my fear of roundels by making my own. All right. I'll give that a go.
You may remember, dear listener, that we three talked about tusks.
Mm.
And what you don't know is that since then, and I don't know if the other two have noticed this, I've had these small or ever larger protrusions growing out of my top lip.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't noticed that. I wasn't sure what to say.
Can you see them?
Well, it's a bit hard on the Zoom because it's just sort of 2D and you're flat on, so it wasn't quite... Just show me your profile for a sec.
In profile.
I'll just go to one side like that.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah, those are tusks. Ooh, all right.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in profile it's...
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been using them to spike receipts onto.
Yeah, I can see you've got work receipts on the left one, haven't you?
That's right.
Yeah, general receipts on the right one. It's quite a good system.
Yeah, it's been pretty useful, actually.
I've got a central tusk growing out of my mouth.
Oh, open your mouth.
You see that?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
So what that means is that everything I eat now is a kebab. Everything gets kebabbed onto the end of it.
Kebabbed immediately.
Everything gets pre-kebabbed onto it.
Are you leaning into that? Are you just dicing everything? Or are you?
I'm having to dice stuff now. Yeah. And then I just have to lie on my back and wait for it to, for just elements of gravy and juices and stuff will drip down the kebab and land in my gob. But mostly my food is just skewered.
They suit you though. You look nice, both of you.
I can't see anything growing out of your head.
No, I'm not growing any tusks. I, for some reason, maybe I wasn't listening properly or something went wrong, but I seem to be growing a prehensile tail.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
But out of the bottom of my left foot.
All right.
Okay. Which is causing a few problems with footwear and so on.
And are you in control of the tail?
In no control. I don't know who's operating it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Does it flap when you're happy or angry, excited? Is there any kind of emotional?
No, it just sort of emotional it grapples onto passing cyclists on the whole. I've pulled down about 17 already today.
Is it like a baby's hand and it'll just grip stuff? If something's around, it might just grip it.
It grips it, but it's much bolder than a baby's hand. Completely fearless, yeah. And very anti-cyclist as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's no good.
No.
And it's completely prehensile, is it?
It's completely prehensile. It's not one of those partially prehensile tails.
No, everything about it is
prehensile. That we all know so much about. Yeah. No, it's completely,
And it's not a post-tensile tail?
No, it's not hensile. No. It's
not simultaneousile. It's not conhensile with itself.
It's not conhensile at all. I wish it was.
It's not interhensile.
Because I had no one to do with that, obviously.
So if I was to look at that right now, I'd be like, it's prehensile.
Would
I almost notice it was prehensile before I noticed it was a tail?
It'd be the first thing you said, I'm sure.
If I just caught a glimpse of it, it'd be like, there's something prehensile going on off the bottom of Mike's left foot.
In that very long sock Mike's wearing on his left foot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Before you've even seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, God have mercy on us all. Mm-hmm. And to you listeners, some more tusks banter, or at least stuff we recorded during making the tusks episode.
That's largely not to do with tusks. Thank you.
Now, I've been on the quest for the perfect sort of breathable, warm, wintry, waterproof, but warm coat, windproof, waterproof, and warm coat for years. I've never found the perfect one. There always had
it's
two
a journey
beers,
we're all on, I think.
Yeah, all human beings are on a journey to work out how to get a coat or
really
jacket.
Decent coat.
That's decent, that's breathable, waterproof, and warm.
Serviceable pockets.
Decent pockets. A couple of, enough toggles to, just enough sort of little toggles and stuff hanging off for it to have a sort of slightly decorative element, but not too many toggles, so it looks silly. You know what I mean? We're all looking for that. I've never found it, but I thought I had recently. I couldn't believe it. I went into the shop, I put on this coat, it was the perfect fit. It was in the sale, they only had one left.
Oh my God.
It was padded. It had a quilted sort of vibe to it.
Mm.
It was warm. It had a nice shape on me. I looked good. The sleeves were the right length. It's very, very hard for me. It's not something I'm comfortable talking about now. I've got
long arms.
I've got my lungs are about 1.5 times longer than they should be for a matter of my of my torso shape and leg size,
ape style,
and head width. Yeah, my proportions don't really make sense. It makes it very hard for me to buy shirts in any shop without staff members either laughing or weeping.
And I do think you should be embarrassed about that.
I don't
think you should be going out anymore with folded arms, just with a pair of gloves sellotaped to your elbows.
I don't think you need to do that. I hung up I've hung up my fake hands. I don't use them anymore. I mean, I've still got them in case. But I tried this coat on, and it was like, even the shop assistant, you could tell, it's like, this actually does look good on this guy. It was affordable. I thought I'd reached that moment in life. I couldn't believe I was going to be walking home.
What was it made out of?
Ice.
Smoke. It was made out of the non-consensually removed pelts of hundreds of really, really cute animals. and that was the thing I discovered, which meant I couldn't buy it. I was really annoyed.
What's this made out of, sir? A sort of roundup of the forest floor. Just imagine a big net trotting across the forest floor.
Just imagine a sort of woodland AGM.
What we do is, it's quite ethical. We get a kind of homely type. Normally an elderly man with a sort of homely vibe, a sort of friendly Czech shirt, a nice straw hat. He'll go into the middle of the forest and he'll begin singing a little tune.
Get your free Bruce Springsteen tickets from me. Get them right here, right now.
The animals hear this, and only the most friendly and sort of approachable and cute animals will then flock to the man. They'll sort of stand on his shoulders. Sometimes they begin singing with him, and at that point, the net descends, and
they're chinooked away.
They're chinooked to the depelting centre.
So was it actually made of pelts? No.
Well, no. But it was. It was fur or whatever in it. It had stuff that.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't buy it.
Where were you? What shop was this?
No, I'm not. I won't say the brand. I won't say the brand of the shop. But no, it had. It was a brand that has ethical sort of question marks over it to do with some bits of like this. You got fur on the lining of your hood. The hood had fur.
Yeah.
And also the quilted things have goose feathers and stuff in them.
I think I know what you're on about.
Oh, is that not... Is that bad, is it?
I think it can be okay. it depends.
Okay.
But there was too much doubt either way.
But there was doubt. And
the
I
thought
had to
was
walk
there.
Away. Yeah.
The magic was lost.
And I still haven't found that coat that's breathable, warm, windproof, waterproof, all that stuff.
That's because the answer is 20 otter pelts, isn't it?
Basically, the answer is 20 otter pelts because otters are waterproof, otters are windproof, otters are breathable. It just, you always end up coming back to otters. That's the problem.
Decent pockets.
Otters have got decent pockets. Otters have a good amount of toggles on them.
Not too many.
And otters also are reversible. They can reverse their entire look, flip it the other way around, and they've got more of a sort of sports casual look, haven't they? I tell you what, going into battle in those old days battles, bloody hell.
You wouldn't have fancied it?
been absolutely hideous.
It sort of makes sense of the pervasive idea of life after death, doesn't it? Because without that,
it's a hard sell, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you just sit down? Can you just talk me through your plans for Sunday? Just once more. I don't think I fully understood it.
Am I going to be getting any armor? No, you're not going to. No. Sorry, you're not one of the armor. That's quite expensive. That stuff. So I'd wear a thick jumper, second t-shirt. So and weapons? Are you going to give me a nice sword? No. I'd probably sharpen your scythe if you've got one at home, or if you've got a really good stick, bring that. And then, yeah, we're just going to line you up, and you're just gonna run en masse.
And can I just get this right? I'm running towards that big line of pikes. Is that right?
Yeah.
The ones that... Right.
Right. Because I was thinking, because it's Sunday tomorrow, I was thinking, you know, certainly if the stools of my oldest ram are anything to go by, I think the weather's going to be quite good. And so, because I was thinking maybe we could picnic. That was what I was... So it's still outdoors, but it's more of a...
And also, am I right in thinking that this battle we're involved with is to do with the sovereignty of the Low Countries, which is somewhere I've never been? I'm not even... Is that nearby?
Yeah, you don't need to worry about any of that. You just need to turn up and tell your brother to come along and bring his drum, please. All right. So, will he get a helmet or anything? No. Just tell him to bring his drum, because we will need someone to drum while we hurtle towards the pikes.
And I'll be on a horse, I guess. No,
but do keep an eye out for. There will be horses, but you will want to keep an eye out for them. Never stand behind a horse or in front of a horse that is charging you with a lance.
Okay, that's probably worth remembering, isn't it? And then when you keep saying the worms will take their tithe, what do you mean by that? Because
don't worry about any of that. That's all going to be completely inconsequential. Probably about 7 minutes after the thing has started.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a couple of questions about the sharpness of the pipes, because I was looking, because they are glinting somewhat,
just from a kind of health and safety.
Yeah, because health and safety wise. We're in a situation where I've lost four of my children to slight scabs, to just sort of knee and hand scabs, and that's from day to day rough and tumble. Yeah.
Listen, you've had a good run. You're almost 24. Okay,
it's true. I've led a good life. It's true.
You're a great grandfather.
I can't complain.
The time has come to give something back to your community by running at those pikes.
And here's the thing, because I've heard some stories about this, is the thing about if the pike just takes off a section of your head or a bit of your leg or whatever, you just have to lie down. You just lie down where you are.
My advice would be to lie down where you are.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the protocol, is it? So just as long as I know what the steps are, but obviously you've taken care of it. You've looked into these eventualities. So you lie down where you are.
Stop, drop and roll is the thing.
Stop, drop and roll. Okay. And
stop, drop, and roll, and poultice if you have one, which you won't. So just remain perfectly still. Close your eyes. Okay. Try not to think about the mace that is currently swinging towards your stricken body.
Okay. And what I was really pleased about this is that it's a complete free for all on groaning. It's groan as much as you like.
Oh,
is that right?
Absolutely. I can groan. Yelp. Whimper.
That's good to know.
And this speech that he's just done, the commander.
In a language you don't understand. Yes.
Yes, that was in Dutch, was it? Was that
Dutch? That was in Dutch, because he currently is your ruler. Yes, that was Dutch, yeah.
Right. And am I a Catholic?
You probably will be by the end of the day.
Okay. Yeah, it's good to get that straight, I think.
That's the way things are heading. Thanks, lads.
See you on Monday. I can't remember how we got talking about that.
I think we started on the old tech fight.
It was Mike's computer. Oh, yeah, it was tech.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so tech-wise, Ben, I like to think, because me and you have little tech conversations on the side sometimes.
Yeah, Mike doesn't know about this, but we have little tete-a-tetes.
We have little tech-a-tecs, I like to call them. And we've got a little bit of a shorthand with each other and stuff, Mike. So
yeah. And does Ben manage to conceal his sense of dread when these little chats happen, or is he?
He'll often say, "Do you mind if we turn off cameras? Turn off cameras for this one if it's on Zoom." He will say that. So that...
I'm just going to shave my chest hair as you do it.
And often he'll be doing DIY because I'll hear things smashing, and often he'll be trying to do some DIY or something. And
the old DIY smashing.
The old some DIY smashing. I like to think that I do have a I like to think it's me, basically, that I'm number two. I think Mike likes to think he's number two as well. But then, obviously, what happens is then around our parents, I mean, obviously everyone has this, you then become number one, don't you?
Well, my parents, Bill and Melinda Gates.
My brother-in-law is very much tech chief within the entire family unit.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he's taken on the whole family. That's a big...
It's an unpleasant task, I think. Because all of us are completely bloody useless.
The problem is, though, so I'm somewhat in this role in certain relationships in my life.
Mm. Yeah.
And the problem is, what can happen is you can get cast into the role, and then when someone entirely through their own actions, for example, deletes every piece of data and photograph they've ever taken in their life,
right.
Somehow it becomes your fault.
That's true, yes. Yeah, there's a responsibility.
Because for some reason now suddenly you're the steward of their entire existence.
Mm.
So it's not a role you want to take lightly.
And you haven't taken the time to assemble a cloud for the cloud.
Exactly.
So when it's gone, it's gone.
And really the only way they'll get it back is if we sort of go on a road trip to the Nevada desert where there's some huge server in a massive box that we can...
physically dig your way to.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't envy that status. I'll never have that status. I don't want that status. I'm happy to be just sort of fairly inept, needy Luddite. That's my station.
Yeah, but I have quite a few people around whom I am the tech expert. It's quite a strange sensation having those different roles amongst different people.
Poor fools.
Poor fools. But then I come here and it's like completely just my power is nothing here. It's sort of like I'm a duke. And then here I'm in the court of the king. Mm. You know what I mean? And I owe my dukedom to Ben.
Yes,
it's quite a sort of vertiginous feeling there. That kind of change.
So in front of your parents, you are a very king.
Yeah,
but they think you work as an IT consultant in the city, don't they?
That's right. And they did think Three Bean Salad is a strange name for my IT company, but I've explained to them that. Beans are how you measure information. So
you've got megabeans, gigabeans,
tetrabeans, etc.
etc. beans.
They're buying it. They've listened to the podcast. I've explained to them, which is very, 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 very technical, extremely technical heavy. IT chat that can extremely jargon heavy. That everything we're saying kind of has its own kind of IT jargon meaning. And it might sound like that we're talking a load of absolute shite about nonsense, but actually it's very, very high level, sort of data analytics.
And if you, dear listener, didn't realise that, then you need to switch off immediately.
Yeah.
We could do a feature called Henry's Help Desk where people could send in their IT queries.
I would say, I tell you what, I do... I can't remember if we discussed this before or not, but I do think I've got a natural knack for IT. I just don't know a lot of the specific data points or facts. But I've got a knack. But I tell you what happened with me is I had a natural understanding of computers when I used to use Microsoft computers, which was basically I used to understand computers when they were organized around a series of metaphors that I understood. The desktop. Yes. Desk. I get it. Mm-hmm. Stuff. Yeah. Folders.
Mice.
What were mice? mice. Exactly. It's a small creature that you can hold, wiggle it around, and you might get what you want. and folders and files and information in little boxes and thick stuff. A kind of physical. There was a physical, metaphorical language, which obviously they chose early on in the early days, when it was Bill Gates or whatever in his garage, presumably. They said, what are we going to come up with as our metaphor for data?
Mm-hmm.
And they went with the prevailing, stationary, essentially, stationary-based metaphors.
Yeah.
But then what's happened now, well, the thing I'm transferring what the difficulty I'm having now is with Apple products is that we're transferring essentially from a physical, we're getting further away from the physical universe now. We're now, it's not about moving stuff around. It's about subscribing to stuff. You know, I once tried to ask a guy in the Apple store, where are my photos? and
please, where are they? Give them to me now. I think I've inadvertently documented a serious crime. Please, this is important. Get out the albums. Get out my photograph albums. I assume they're back there. Let me through. Let me through. Open this door
Let
immediately.
Me through. Show us. And I started to, obviously, then at that point, I started to corral, try and attempt to corral the other customers. They've got our albums. They've got our albums back through that little door where they come out with their T-shirts. That's where the albums are. Together, we could get them back. Come on, grab the iPads, the iPhones, the display.
We can overwhelm them.
Overwhelm them.
There's only five of them. None of them's above the age of 19. Go! I remember that bloodbath.
And having said that, I did get my photo albums back. So
what, in physical form?
In physical form. They did actually have them all back there. I asked, he couldn't tell me where the photos were. But that was when he blew my mind, this guy in the Apple store, was when he said, I tried to get him to explain the cloud, because this is what happens. There's a series of steps you go through when you go to the Apple store. You go in there with your computer, hoping that it's a fairly minor problem. You'll go in, they'll sort it out, they'll come out. In fact, I once went in, literally, because one of the little plastic nodules had fallen off the bottom of my laptop. Mm-hmm. You know, the ones which stop it scraping.
Mm, yeah.
But what tends to happen is you go in with a minor problem like that and things get more and more complicated. You get more and more sweaty.
How did the conversation go from one of the feet has fallen off my MacBook to what is the cloud?
Well,
did you think the foot had gone to the cloud?
I assumed it must have done. I assumed it works like clouds actually work, which is water vapor.
Here we go.
Or information,
yeah. Okay.
In the form of computers, the IT.
It's another metaphor.
Gets heated up.
You heat the information.
It turns into gas, floats upwards. When enough bits of either water vapor or photos from christenings, barbecues, holidays, etc., whatever the information is, Leonard Cohen albums, Simon Armitage poems.
Aborted attempts at a first novel.
Loads of those. They form grey clouds.
Until they get so heavy they fall back down again.
And they fall back down again. But we ended up talking about the cloud, and that's what always happens. You end up talking about the cloud. And there's a point, you can see it in the body language of people being talked to, that they start to, because initially they'll be fairly cheerful. Person comes out with a T-shirt, they look at them, they go, oh, is this person a nerd? Or are they cool? It's hard to tell these days. Maybe being a nerd is cool. Those kind of thoughts. Yeah. And then gradually, as they start talking to you about the cloud, you see the crumpling, the slight crumpling of the body language of people, both elbows. That's why they've got those big solid tables. Both elbows go on the table, and then there's leaning, there's sighing.
You start to look like that single man in the painting Nighthawks in the diner.
What is that, the one Hopper with Marilyn Monroe and...
No. Yes, that painting of Marilyn Monroe and Robert De Niro you've got in your kitchen. And Jim Belushi.
So basically, there comes a point in that conversation where you say, okay, so saying, what is the cloud? And the person said to me that the cloud is like, because I was looking for a metaphor, basically.
But
is it a cupboard? Is it a desk? Is it a bucket?
The metaphor is it's a cloud.
Yeah, I think you've already done that. You've even talked us through the metaphor.
The metaphor is it's the cloud. Well, I wanted another metaphor. That metaphor wasn't working for me.
I see.
So the metaphor he gave me was, it's a mirror.
Uh-oh.
He said the cloud is a mirror. We were talking about backing up your computer. No, that was it, Ben. That's why we got onto talking about the cloud, because whenever you've got any problem, they say, have you backed up your computer to the cloud? So then we started talking about the cloud. Anyway, he said it's a mirror. So when you're looking at it, you can see yourself, you're there in the mirror. Mm-hmm. But when you move away, are you still in the mirror? You're not sure. You don't know. There's no way of knowing.
And if you delete your own face, can you get the mirror?
Can you get the face back off the mirror?
can you get into the mirror and actually get stuff out
pull,
of it?
How do you pull something out from the other side of a mirror?
What? A, you're going to have to know your Apple login, minimum.
So did the mirror metaphor help you understand it?
Kind of. It meant not. Basically, I kept on saying to the guy, I want...
Have you just put your laptop in front of a mirror now?
I've got two laptops, mate. So I don't know why he's laughing. Don't know why you're laughing. It's basically it's sort of 2-for-1 thing system. That's what mirrors are, isn't it? It's original 2-for-1. Basically, I wanted to back up stuff to the cloud and have it still be there
long after your death.
Whereas it turns out, what I wanted, according to his metaphor, was a mirror which you look into and you're there, and then you go off and you're still there. That's what I wanted. You know what I mean? I wanted to be able to come to a mirror and have my face already there waiting for me when I got back to it, kind of thing. Whereas he was. do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I think you mean that the guy in the Apple shop didn't know how mirrors work.
Well, I tell you, I didn't know he looked he'd used one that day. it was to do with what it was to do with was there's this thing called automatic backup your laptop offers you this thing where you can save all your you can like copy all your stuff to the cloud, do everything on the cloud. They're trying to get you onto the cloud, by the way. Leave you,
okay.
They're trying to get us all up into those. They're trying to turn us all into fucking water vapor and get us all floating up. Right. They want us all in the. They want all of us in the cloud. I mean, Ben's not going to deny that. They're trying to get us into a subscription model of reality, okay, where there are no folders or desks anymore. There's just subscriptions. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, do you know about this? What I'm talking about?
The grand conspiracy.
No, the thing about
we're no longer going to have corporeal form, and that we'll all become a series of vapors. Yeah.
But will we be Apple Crumbleflakes? That's going to be there's a thing where your laptop can they offer you a thing where you subscribe to have your information saved not locally, so all on the cloud essentially. Yeah. And it's you pay a monthly fee. Mike, have you been offered this?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Have you done it?
I don't know. I'm not the person to ask.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know exactly. So basically, if that happens, what I wanted is just a place where I can put stuff like a cupboard. But he went, no, if you do that full backup system, if you delete something off your computer, if you've got this mirroring thing or this thing where all of your stuff is automatically saved to the cloud, if you delete it off your computer, it deletes it off the cloud as well. In the same way that if you're looking in the mirror and you lop off your ear, it comes off in the mirror. Yeah. And how is that a good system, either for a computer or a mirror? So this is what I'm talking about. This is the level of understanding I've got. Ben?
Do you know, Henry, I think you're right. I think you are the most IT literate one out of you and Mike.
But they are, like, this thing can happen where they don't know where your photos are. Like, they didn't actually know.
They're in the back.
And
what? They're in the back.
But like, the previous thing was you could think that you were moving these things around physically in some way. They were in folders, they were on hard drives. Whereas now it's like, no, the thing is, they keep on saying to me things like, no, the thing is, sir, you know, you're looking at it the wrong way. You're subscribing to the idea of your own photographs. Your photographs don't basically exist. Your photographs are now a sort of service that you rent off us. And you know, like when you save something to your laptop and suddenly it's on your phone and it's on your iPad as well, that just makes me freak out even more because I don't know where the fuck it is. Where actually is it? Is it on any of these? And because it's not really on any of them, what it means is if you press the wrong button or you do the wrong password or something, they can go like that, gone, poof. No photos anymore.
No record.
You
never existed. Okay.
Ben, so like, I think me and you, as guys that kind of understand IT quite well, is it quite interesting, isn't it, the stuff I brought up? What do you think?